Blog Talk Radio.
نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, for this occasion or this munasabah where we have the people who are the representatives of the Dawah al-Salafiyah, which is the Dawah al-Mubarak from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have some of these representatives here today, inshallah, so as to come together to help this Dawah to spread and grow in the land. Because of that fact, inshallah, we're going to talk about a very important issue here today, bi-idhnillahi tabarak wa ta'ala. And what we're going to give today is a daras in the minhaj of this Dawah al-Salafiyah. And we're going to do this daras based upon some of the ayat of Allah subhanahu of the Quran, the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeping in mind that the Muslim who truly wants to be upon the Qur'an and the Sunnah, he has to realize that in order to be upon the Qur'an and the Sunnah, he has to familiarize himself with this Qur'an. No doubt our turning towards the authentic Sunnah of Abu Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt this is a beautiful thing, this is a good thing, and in it is najat, success. But if we're going to turn to the Sunnah at the expense of the Qur'an, then this is khusran. This is a true loss and disaster. But we take the Qur'an and we take the Sunnah. It is not befitting for the Muslim who claims to be upon this Dawah not to know the tajweed of the Qur'an, or not to be trying to learn the tajweed of this Qur'an and some of the other sciences of this Qur'an. So we'll find that a brother has been blessed to come to the recognition of is extremely important. But it's mandatory for the Muslim to be upon this Dawah, understanding the Quran and the Sunnah according to the way the Salaf of this Ummah understood. It's sad that we see that the person comes to this realization and he's able to say, well, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said about this narrator that he's this, and Ali Madini said about that narrator that he's this, and this hadith is mawdu', and this man is a mudallis. It's sad that he's able to say that, but when you ask him about the rules of Al-Qalqala, he doesn't know them. When you ask him about the rules of the Mad in the Qur'an, he doesn't know it. He allows time to go by without acquainting himself with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're going to give this daras in the minhaj based upon some of the ayat of the Qur'an. One of those ayat is from the surah of Surah Al-Asr. And another ayah is from Surah Al-Balad. Two surahs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed during the Meccan period. And we know that the legislation of Al-Islam, there was certain issues that were concentrated on in the Meccan period more than others, and likewise there were certain issues that were concentrated on in the Medina period. These two ayat were revealed in the Meccan period, the time when the Muslims were weak and oppressed, and they didn't have an authority, and they didn't have ability, in spite of the fact that in the Meccan period, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that Al-Islam was going to take over and was going to reign supreme. So for the Muslim who wants to establish this Dawah in his life, he needs to concentrate on what's going to be said. For the Muslims who are du'at and they want to establish this Dawah, Al-Mubarak, so as to develop a community based upon the light of the Quran and the Sunnah, then let them concentrate on this lesson today, insha'Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala tells us in the Quran in Surah Al-Asr, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah ta'ala swears by the Asr time. And as you all know by now, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, whenever He swears, being that He is Al-Khaliq, or the Creator, He swears by Ma Yasha, whatever He wants to. Wal-Fajr, Wal-Duha, Wal-Sama, Wal-Layl. Whatever Allah wants to swear by, He swears by that thing. Because He is the Creator. He does what He wants to do without being questioned. Why? But the weak Abdullah and the weak Amatullah cannot swear by anything except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or one of the tremendous characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says nothing except Wallahi, Warrahmani, Wa Izzatillahi. He doesn't swear by his grandmother or on his father's grave. He swears only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala swears by the Asr time that all of the human beings are in a state of loss. And then he goes on to make an exception, and he says, except those who have Iman, the true Iman that brings, as a result of it, action. So he says, those who have Iman and those who do righteous works. Not like the people who say you can have Iman and say I believe and not do any work. They have Iman, and on top of that, that Iman causes them to make salah in the Jama'ah, causes them to give dawah to this al-Islam, causes them to have rahmah towards their family members, causes them to do those things that Allah Ta'ala has legislated in this deen. And those are not in loss who mutually cooperate upon the haq, the truth. And they mutually cooperate upon being patient. And Imam al-Shafi'i, that tremendous scholar of al-Islam, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said concerning this surah, لَوْ تَدَبَّرَ النَّاسِ هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ لَوَسَعَتْهُمْ. If the people only concentrated on this surah, it would be enough for them. Not meaning that the Imam doesn't recognize the importance of the other surah of the Quran. He was just trying to get us to understand that this surah, Surah Al-Asr, is a tremendous surah. So it doesn't make sense for us to look at it as being a small surah. That's Surah Al-Asr. Then we have in Surah Al-Balad, one of the ayats that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Balad, ayat number 18, when he talked about the description of those people who will be successful, those people who believe, those people who do good works by giving to the poor, by freeing the bondmen. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Balad, ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ. Then he will become of the people who believe in Allah, and they mutually cooperate on the patience, and they mutually cooperate on the rahmah. So here we have two surahs, Meccan surah, and these two surahs describe for us three ahwal, or three conditions, or three situations. The first situation is that they mutually cooperate on the haq, as Surah Al-Asr said, وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ. And then they mutually cooperate upon the patience, as Surah Al-Asr and this ayat from Surah Al-Balad said, وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. And then they mutually cooperate on being patient. We want to discuss these three types of cooperation as we understand it from these two Meccan periods, keeping in mind that the famous scholar of al-Islam, who was hated by many, and he's only hated by them because of his war against the deviant, because of his unending war against those people who tried it, who tried to create, and Allah deemed that which Allah has not given them any authority to do so, they only hate him for that reason. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said concerning this principle, the principle of the Meccan period and the Medina period, he said that whenever the Muslims find themselves in a condition that's similar to the Muslims during the time of the Meccan period, they should concentrate on those ayat and those ahadith of the Meccan period. He didn't say that they shouldn't work by the Meccan, by the surahs of Medina. He said that they should concentrate on those ayat and those conditions when they find their condition similar to that. Because at this time, the community was getting built. As a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the legislation that is hakima, is wise, in accordance to their condition. And he said whenever the Muslims find their condition similar to the Muslims during the Medina period, they concentrate as well on those Medina periods or those ayat. But let us not misunderstand. If the Muslims were to find themselves similar to the Meccan period, where there's an authority over them, where that authority can come and snatch one of them up and throw them in a place where the Jama'at can't get them out, they're weak and oppressed, where there's another authority greater than their authority as far as power is concerned, can come and can close their place down, or can prevent them from getting a place. He didn't say, if this is your case and you're similar to that Meccan time, that you don't work by the surahs of Medina or the principles of Medina. The Muslim is obligated to work by al-Islam in its total form, depending on his ability. Allah Ta'ala told us in the Quran, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Today I have completed I've completed your deen. So no one can come now and imply that al-Islam is deficient. So in this surah al-Asr and surah al-Balad, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying to develop the Islamic community, to establish the da'wah of the truth in the hearts of the people, Allah revealed these two surahs, that they mutually cooperate on the haq. Now the natural question that arises and it presents itself is, what is the haq? And who defines for us this haq, this truth? Last Sunday in our masjid here in East Orange, New Jersey, two Muslims got married. When we went in the front to eat from the walima, we found that there was a guy who wanted to marry one of the sisters from our jama'ah. This Muslima is a sister who's dressing as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered her to dress. And she's on the Quran and the Sunnah, inshaAllah. And so the wali of the girl, the wakil of the girl, was approached by another guy who we didn't know. It turned out that this guy was from the Moorish Science Temple. So the wali said to me, Akhi, this guy is from the Moorish Science Temple. Can you please tell us whether or not he can marry this Muslim girl? Knowing a little bit about what these people believe and think, I said to him, what do you people say about Drew Ali? He said he's a messenger and a prophet. So we asked him, what about the ayat in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadan min ridalikum, walakin Rasulullahi wa khatam al-Nabiyyin. Muhammad is not the father of any of you men. Concerning the story of Zayd, he is not the father of any of you men, but he is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophet. What do you people say about this clear ayah in the Quran? The guy from the Moorish Science Temple, he said, yes, we believe in that. But it means that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the stamp of approval for Nobu Drew Ali. He's not the first one to come up with that interpretation. Ghulam Ahmed said it. And every other Tom, Dick and Harry, they say that same tafsir. So according to his interpretation, the haq is that tafsir. And for every single person in this masjid, if we were to ask, what's your opinion of the haq? For every person, we'll get another interpretation. But the haq in al-Islam, as you all know, alhamdulillah, is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those two authorities, understanding them according to the way the companions understood them. When Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, ikhwan, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if they believe the way you people believe in the plural, كَمَا آمَنْتُمْ and تُمْ, as you people believe, then they have been guided. Allah easily could have said, if they believe the way you believe Muhammad, you by yourself, you alone, he could have easily said that, then they would have been guided. But he said, as you people believe, you and your companion. Likewise, in the famous hadith, all of them will be in the hellfire except one. Which one, O Messenger of Allah? The one that I'm doing today and my companion. He could have easily said, what I'm doing today, and that was it. But he included amongst that and my companion. So the haq, ikhwan, that we have to mutually cooperate upon, and we have to mutually cooperate in calling to it, is understanding this Islam, the Quran and the Sunnah, according to the understanding of those companions, رضي الله تعالى عنهم. And wallahi, I don't believe that anyone who Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with a right mind, and he's not sick, he's not majnoon, he doesn't have learning disability, if that message came to him, Ya Abdullah, it is not permissible for you to understand al-Islam according to Imam so-and-so's opinion, Jama'at so-and-so's opinion, your culture. You have to understand Islam according, based upon the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the companion. I don't believe that the person who has right mind will reject that message. How can he reject that message? So with that being the case, ikhwan, the call always to our brothers is that we have to pay more attention to the way we're given this dawah, so that we in turn do not become the people who are reasons that other people reject the dawah. There's a principle that we get from one of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's applicable here. And that principle comes to us when the Prophet taught us some adab alayhi salatu wa salam, when he said, La yusabbanna ahadukum abahu. Do not allow any of you people to curse his own father. Do not any of you turn around and curse your own father. The Arabs, who had a lot of positive characteristics about themselves at that time, one of those characteristics was they honored their father. They loved and respected their father. They found it strange that the Prophet would tell them, alayhi salatu wasalam, not to curse their father. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, how would one of us curse his father? He said, Yusubbu aba rajulin fa yusubbu abahu. That man curses the father of another man, so he turns around and he curses his father. So we say to the brothers as well, do not let any of you be the reason why people reject the dawah, this clear dawah. How would someone reject the dawah, the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Sahaba? How would they reject it? You give a bad representation of what that is. So he turns around and he rejects it. So we mutually cooperate, ikhwan, according to this truth. And we are not in the business of trying to be united with those people who do not recognize this concept. Because anyone who's not on this khat or on this way, your role and his role will never meet. He's going one way and you're going another way. and to try to get together with people who are not about this, it would only end up in confusion. It would only end up in you making the tanazul for your principles, compromising your principles. And al-Islam does not afford us the luxury to compromise in this deen. We have maruna, flexibility, in certain issues, but there is no flexibility in the usul of al-Islam. You cannot be flexible as it relates to the basic fundamentals of al-Islam. We cannot be friends with the Rafida. We cannot be friends with the Jahmiya. We cannot be friends with the Sufiya who say that their sheikh is over the universe. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. And if he was to swear by Allah, he would lie. But if he was to swear by the sheikh, he would tell the truth. There's no ta'awun. There's no mutual cooperation on this. But the cooperation here, because some of them are still Muslim, the cooperation here is that we give them dawah, that we explain the truth to them according to the principles that have been left to us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ, they mutually cooperate, coming together from far and wide. They mutually cooperate based upon this dawah, based upon this clear message. وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they mutually cooperate based upon the patience. As you all will agree with me, Ikhwan, there's no one in this world who can truly live his life properly and he's by himself. And because of that fact, it becomes necessary for people to come together for a common goal and cause. And because of the dynamics of the human experience, when you come together, there are going to be clashes with the people who you're coming together with. Because people have different tastes. People are of different sizes. People have different understandings, and they have different levels. They have different things in their heart. So there's going to be some clashes, as the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wassalam, when he said, Al-arwah junudun mujannada. Ma ta'arafa minha i'talafa. وَمَا تَنَاكَرَ مِنْهَا اِخْتَلَفَ. The souls of the people are like trained soldiers. So therefore, those of the souls that get along together, they come together. And those of the souls that don't get along, they clash with one another. A natural experience. There are just some people who you can't get along with. They turn small issues into big issues. You joke with them, a play joke, he turns it into a big issue and he takes you seriously. And that's why we have some people speaking to others, some are not speaking to others. The point is, we have to keep in mind that al-Islam doesn't allow you, akhi, to be a hermit. Al-Islam does not allow you to go off and to live in a mud hut by yourself. When they asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the ruhbaniyah, this life of a hermit and being away, they asked him about the castration. They wanted to make ibadah to Allah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Muslims, ruhbaniyatul Islam al-jihad fi sabilillah. The hermit life of al-Islam, the aesthetic life of al-Islam, is jihad fi sabilillah. The total opposite of what they want. There's no going away because the people get you sick. When you don't understand or you don't like the people in charge, you run off to do another thing. The Prophet of Islam, alayhi salatu wasalam, told us, Al-mu'min alladhi yasbiru وَالَّذِي يُخَالِطُ النَّاسِ وَيَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ آذَاهِمْ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ الَّذِي لَا يُخَالِطُ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ آذَاهِمْ. The believer who mixes with the other believers and he's patient with what he sees from them that he doesn't like, the harm that they give him. You hear something bad about you, someone oppresses you in the Jama'ah. There's something at that place you just don't like. He says that the believer who is patient and he mixes with the people is better than the one who is not patient and he doesn't mix with the people. So Al-Islam Ikhwan does not afford the people the opportunity, the luxury to apply Islam, to understand Islam based upon their hawa, based upon their nafs. You're staying with the people and being a part of their jama'ah and being patient with that which you do not like is better than your running off and being away from the people and doing your own thing. Unless the time comes when it's the time of fitna. And what's the fitna, Ikhwan? The time of fitna is when the truth cannot be distinguished from the batin. At this time, the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, as he told Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, when that time comes, when the fitna, you don't know the truth from the batin, go away and break your sword off on the mountain of Uhud. Go away and eat from the leaves of the tree until death overtakes you. The best believer at that time is the one who goes up to the mountains with his sheep. When the time of Salat comes, he makes adhan and he's praying. When? When the truth cannot be distinguished from what is batil. But when the truth is clear and the batil is clear, the Muslim does not run away and put his head in the sand like the ostrich. Being patient, Ikhwan, on this sabr, collectively, is an important principle that came down in these two surahs, in the Meccan period. Why? Here you have people like Yasir and his wife Sumayya, powerless because there's another authority over them. They take these two people and they persecute them in front of the Muslims until finally they kill them in front of the son, Ammar. So Ammar goes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of the Muslims and they say, Ammar, this is a fitna. Be patient. Have sabr. Put it in perspective. So the Jama'ah helps the Muslim to handle the catastrophes that befall him, whatever his problem is, he's a blind man, whatever it is, he may be a man who is in a wheelchair. The Jama'ah says to him, Akhi, put it in perspective, be patient, it could be worse than that, you could have died on kufr. Akhi, be patient, it could be worse than that, look at so and so, who is worse off than you. So we collectively call each other to be patient because it strengthens our iman. Have you brothers not heard of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, Al-Qabid ala dinihi, Kal-Qabid ala jamra. The one who is trying to be on his deen, he's trying to hold his religion, he's trying to be a serious Muslim, he's holding on to his deen. The Prophet made a similar tool for us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that the one who is trying to hold on to his deen is like a man who holds on to a piece of coal that's burning. So he's holding the coal because his livelihood is in the coal. If the coal goes out, he loses his life. He cooks with the coal, he eats from the coal, he gets warm from the coal, his life is the coal. So he's holding the coal in his hand and it's burning through his skin and his flesh and his bones. And the majority of the Muslims and the people who are witnessing it, they're saying, Aki, what are you doing? You're Majnoon. Leave the coal. Drop the coal. He says, but this is my life. I have to hold on to it. So he holds on to his deen. He doesn't care what the people. He says, to hell with the people. So the Muslims help one another to be patient with one another collectively. Put it in perspective, Akhi, it ain't that bad. There's another sister other than her. Akhi, I know you went astray. you fell back in the dunya. Crack ain't that bad if you change your life and come back to the masjid. I'll pick you up for fajr every day. This is the meaning, ikhwana, of watawasul, this sabr. They collectively trying to establish this dawah, encourage one another on this sabr and on this patience. But if he chooses to run away and detach himself from the jama'ah, then let him know that the lone sheep always gets devoured by the wolf. By the wolf of kufr. By the wolf of your nafs, your desires. Until the point comes when you can't distinguish where's the truth and where's the batin. So everyone who comes with a new scream and a new shout and a new soul, you're part of his program. And lastly, ikhwan, watawasaw bil marhama. We mentioned before the Rafida. The Rafida are those people who reject al-Islam. They're kuffar. The ulama from them are kuffar. The regular people from them who don't know Allah is their hasib. The aqidah of the Rafida is an aqidah that is fasida. Takes a person outside of Islam. Those people who say that, the Quran in which we possess is one third of the Quran that Allah sent down according to them. I think that some of us are reading from the two extra thirds that the Rafida has as it relates to our relationships with one another. Because the Rafida in their deen, in their aqidah, they take it as an issue of deen that they are harsh against the people of the Quran and the Sunnah. That's a part of their deen, to be against the people who want to practice the Sunnah. So we see the behavior of some of us, and we have no alternative except to think that based upon the way you treat the people of the Sunnah, that you are reading the Quran of the Rafida. Because the Quran that we have here in Surah Al-Fath, Allah Ta'ala tells us, Muhammad Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَا بَيْنُهُ. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the messenger of Allah. And those people who are with him, the companions, his followers, those people who are with him are harsh against the kuffar and merciful amongst themselves. The asal ikhwan in dealing with the Muslim is having rahmah towards the Muslim. Until the Muslim shows us that we have to be harsh with him, the asal is to be soft and kind and patient and easy and lenient and not to be harsh. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, ikhwan, in a very important hadith, and given us some tawjih, he said, Irham man fil ard yarhamuka man fil sama. You have mercy upon those who are in the earth. And the one who is in the sky, over his throne, Allah will have mercy upon you. So ikhwan, these three conditions or ahwal that came down in these ayat, which are Meccan surahs, they need to be considered by the du'as of this dawah. And they need to be considered by the people who are trying to follow this dawah. That we mutually cooperate based upon the blueprint that has been set forth for us. After that, ikhwan, now comes the time for me to make a statement that it is wajib for me to make. It's time for me to take a stand that it will not be permissible for me to get up from this place and to leave, especially in light of the fact that we have many different parts of the country being represented here. So as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say to the people, لِيُبَلِّقُ الشَّاهِدْ الْغَائِبْ. Let the one who heard it and witnessed it take it back to the one who was absent. let them take this statement back and relay it to the people who they're going to meet. And it's concerning the issue of Masjid al-Dirar. The brothers there, and that issue that you all are well aware of. When this issue jumped off, I wasn't even here. When the lectures that were given by the Imam jumped off, I wasn't even here. And the problem rolled into a big fitna, and I wasn't here. When I came back, I said, this is a situation that, unfortunately, it has taken place, but inshallah, if people have taqwa, we can regroup and establish the dawah and continue to move forth. But when I saw that the nafs and the hawa was involved, I stepped back. Keeping in mind that I had good relations with brothers on both sides. But in spite of that, ikhwan, this masjid is my masjid. My loyalty is to the Muslims across the world. In Palestine, my loyalty is to the Muslims. But this is the masjid that I have a debt to. When we used to come from Patterson and Passaic 10 years ago, and the brothers who were here were trying to establish Islam, they thought they were on the Sunnah. So we used to take the bus and the train, and we'd come over here, and we would come to the men's dinner. And at the men's dinner, there would be the man by the name of Wilmore Siddiqui, who is from Florida. He used to play a guitar singing, I'm a Little Muslim Child. And we thought this was the Sunnah, because the brothers were trying. They were reading Bukhari and Muslim. And wallahi, after the men's dinner on Saturday, the next day, Sunday, when we got together, we came over here. The brothers were cooking pancakes and eggs downstairs. The brothers from Patterson and Passaic, we said, MashaAllah, those brothers are on the Sunnah. They have scholars in their presence. And those brothers at that time, they used to say to me, Akhi, you should go and study. They kept saying to me, those other brothers who we see here, who have remained here, Akhi, you should go and study. When Allah made it so that I can go and study, I went. Those brothers, every time one of them would come for Hajj or Umrah, he would carry with him $100, $200, $300 to give to me and my family. This is from the masjid, Akhi. Sadaqah, help. MashaAllah. While we were in Medina, we made a pact between ourselves that, inshallah, we're going to go back to the area and pump the down. So I say that to make it clear that this is the masjid that I have my loyalties to. Are those loyalties, ikhwan, unconditional? Wallahi, they're not unconditional. So what happened was that when I came back, I went to the brothers over there and I said to those brothers, you brothers shouldn't have broke off from the Jama'ah. Who did I say that to? The responsible people. So I had dinner with an Arab brother by the name of Yahya Bilal from Jordan. He invited myself and my wife to have dinner. Other brothers came and I didn't know that they were coming. From those brothers who came, Ibn al-Qasim, Abu Mu'ab, Mustafa Shakur, and Ahmed Yassin from Jersey City. I said to those brothers at that dinner, Ikhwan, you brothers are responsible brothers. You shouldn't have broke off from the Jama'ah. This is not the way of the Dawah to Salafiyah, if in fact you are Salafi. You should have remained with the Jama'ah. And then I gave my opinion and I said, but if I was in the Imam's position, I wouldn't have handled it that way. I wouldn't have handled it that way. The boycott, Masjid Dirar, on and on and on and on. After that, I left. And I never made a stand for or against. And because of that dinner, and because of me not making a stand, people took advantage of me being quiet. Who took advantage? The people here? No. The people here didn't take advantage. The people over there took advantage of me being quiet. And they oppressed me. How did they oppress me? They oppressed me, Ikhwan, that first of all, as I said before, I was very close to all of those brothers. When I came back this time, they don't give me the salam. Why? Why? The only reason is because I never came over there to pray. When they used to see me, they used to say, come and give a dar, come and give a dar. Because I'm not part of the problem and I don't support that, I never went. So they cut me off. I saw some of them since I've been back, they don't give me the salam. When I came back, I heard through the grapevine, well, Abu Usama, it's been said that you are afraid of the administration here. Afraid of what? You're afraid that they're going to cut off your tape and the money that you get from the tape. First of all, Abdullah, my livelihood and the tape, you know nothing about it. So it's from the affairs that you should leave alone. Second of all, as for the cutting off of the livelihood, no one can do that but a Razak. You need to understand that when we were in Medina, we were fuqara, not masakin. The miskin, he has a little something. The fakir, he doesn't have anything. We were fuqara, 525 riyals a month, $115 a month. I had two wives, four babies, and both of them were pregnant. 2 years with two wives. And I learned back then that Allah is a Razak. So all of a sudden I'm going to become afraid that people are going to take some tape. After that, that was oppressive. I'm going to be cut off. I'm also afraid because it's the unpopular thing to do against the people here. As the brothers know who are part of this masjid, there was an incident that passed where I made a tape concerning something. Keeping in mind that many people didn't agree with me according to that tape. If I was afraid of being unpopular, I wouldn't have never made the tape. But I'm going to call the spade when I see it. Irregardless of whether Abu Muslima agrees or Devin agrees. And this is from the many lies that the people always tell who are drowning and they're trying to grab onto straws. They create things. You people blindly follow Al-Albani. Then why do we disagree with him in so many issues? If we're blindly following him, why do we disagree with him in some issues? When the Imam Al-Albani, Rahimahullah, Wahadidahullah, said that the hadith of giving the adhan in the right ear of the child was a hasan hadith, and we sat with Mustafa al-Adawi from Egypt, and he explained to us, this hadith is weak. Wallahi, his arguments were clear. Al-Albani has in print, it's a hasan hadith. Mustafa al-Adawi explained to us clearly, based upon the science of hadith, it's weak. We said the Shaykh made a mistake, may Allah preserve him. He'll get one reward. And then Salim al-Hilali, the oldest, one of the oldest students of the Shaykh, he came and we met us. He also did the tahqiq of Riyad al-Salihin, in which he as well said that that hadith was hasan. He came to us and told us, I rectified the problem because I sat with the Shaykh and he realized that it was a mistake. So before sitting with Salim al-Hilali and finding out that the Shaykh changed his mind, he rejected that. Before we knew the Shaykh changed his mind. Where's the blind following at? They always create lies to mislead the people because that's the nature of the batil. The batil, it needs help from all these other exterior forces. Whereas the truth, it can stand by itself. It doesn't need any crutches. So now, Ikhwan, what happened? It gets worse than that. There's a book that was written, Stand Up for the Truth or You'll Go for Anything. This book has gone all over the place. It came to me when I was in England. In that book, it said that I had a meeting and I said to Ibn al-Qasim that the imam of this masjid is like the man who has one eye. He doesn't look at all of the text. You can go back and read it for yourself. So they took advantage, or he took advantage of me being quiet. had I stood up a long time ago and I made it clear and said, Ikhwan, my position in the issue is this, no one will have the nerve or the audacity to take that type of advantage of another person. Because the people would have said, nah, the brother didn't say that because he said something else in front of us. But I was quiet and they took advantage of it. Which causes me now to come now to straighten the record out. The brother Mustafa and Ahmed Yassin, they were there and they speak English very well. I want them to support the statement of Ibn al-Qasim. Because they know that my opinion was concerning Masjid al-Dirar. As I said to them at that dinner, Ikhwan, the ulama of al-Islam have used this ayat from Surah At-Tawbah for less than what you guys have done. The ulama of al-Islam have used this ayat of Masjid al-Dirar to prove that you cannot make the second jama'ah in the masjid. We finished praying Salat al-Maghrib. Now another group comes into the masjid and they pray the second jama'ah. In a masjid where there's an imam who is established, the strongest opinion is you should pray by yourself. Or go back home and pray. But don't establish the second jama'ah. The ones who take that opinion from the proofs that they use that you can establish the second jama'ah is the ayat from Masjid al-Dirar. Why? Because that second jama'ah will split up the believers. So I brought the book because I'm not going to go over a lecture that has already been given. The proofs have already been given. I'm going to do that all over again. I said to the brother, that issue, Ikhwan, according to what I understand, is applicable. The ayat is applicable. It's been used for less than that. But I think that if it was me, I wouldn't have dealt with it that way. Which taught me a valuable lesson, and that lesson is that we have to be careful of the messages and the signals we send concerning the leadership. Because when Dawood Adib was the leader here, right before he was replaced by the present imam, people came to me, some of the same people, so as to help them throw out Dawood Adib. And I say here in the Fajr talk that I used to give when I was here, that I support leadership. I don't support confusion and wrongdoing, but I support leadership. And I supported Dawood Adib's leadership, and I said I'm not going to help anyone do an overthrow or a revolt. As for this Masjid al-Dirar issue or ayat being used for proving that you can't have a second jama'ah, all you have to do is refer back to the book Al-Qawl al-Mubin fi Akhta' al-Musallin that was written by Abu Ubaidah Mashhur Hassan, one of the premier and foremost students of Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani. On page number 274, he gives the statements of the ulama who took that opinion, and he explains it for those who want to see that the issue was used as a proof for less than that. And in finishing, Ikhwan, I just have to say that I went over there yesterday because we have some nice restaurants over there. And when I went over there, I saw a lot of vans, maybe 8 vans. I asked a brother who pulled up what's happening. The brother said, those are the vans of the brothers of Jamaat al-Tabligh. Now, I thought that the people were going to establish the Sunnah. And I thought that they were saying, we're Salafi just like they're Salafi. But I heard some of the khutbahs that were given when people talk bad about a man for taking on a young wife. And people had enmity towards that issue. And they said that it was something that was special for the Prophet. I heard that with my own eyes. So now if you're truly on the Sunnah, Ikhwan, as we mentioned, Wilmore Siddiqui and the guitar, we came to know after getting on this Quran and the Sunnah, and there's room for improvement, we came to know that the Jamaat al-Tabligh, that is not the Quran and the Sunnah by any stretch of the imagination. By any stretch of the imagination, that is not. what the Quran and Sunnah is calling to, nor the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, nor Hizb al-Tahrir, nor Jamaat al-Takfir, nor any other of these jama'at that have created a minhaj for themselves that is going diametrically opposed to what Abu Qasim brought, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my position, Ikhwan, is that we support the leadership here, and we say to the people that we want to mutually cooperate on al-birr and al-taqwa, and we want to mutually cooperate upon the haq as understood by those companions, and we want to mutually cooperate based upon the patience and the rahmah. So I've been forced to do this when people started to write in books that I said such and such. Can you imagine the fitna that would have been created if the brother would have fed into that? If he would have thought I really said that? So maybe some people may say, well, this is your word against his word. There's another book that the brother wrote called Al-Islam After Elijah. Al-Islam in America After Elijah. I came to my house and my wife gave me the book. It had went to print, and my copy was left at my house. I came to my house and I took the book. I opened it up to the introduction. When I read the introduction, it gave a credit. And I would like to thank my brother Abu Usama, who has read every single hadith in this book, and he's the one who authenticated it. Wallahi wa billahi wa sallahi. May Allah cause me to die a Jew if I'm lying. I never ever read the book to this day. So now the book goes out, and Abu Usama gives some credibility to something he never read. Now people come and say they find a weak hadith that I don't even know about. And they come back to me and say, how can you say this? Sheikh Nasir al-Din, who you blindly followed, said it was this. I know nothing about any hadith. Wallahi tallahi wa billahi. May Allah make me die a Jew if I'm lying. I never read the book. No one ever asked me to read the book. I saw that and I said, subhanallah. So we ask our brothers to take heed of the example that we see before us. First of all, we have older brothers who have come to this dawah. Abdul Ali, Sheikh Yusuf, older brothers, Qasim, Yahya, Ahmed. We have older brothers who recognize that this dawah is the truth. The Imam in New York, Sheikh Ibrahim. These people are honorable. What's your name again, Sheikh? Bashir. Older brothers who recognize. So for those older brothers around us who remain with Jamaat Tabligh or any other Jamaat, and they think, well, them young boys up there doing that. That's a young boy thing. These brothers who remained on the dawah, Ikhwan, these brothers who came over, what do you think? In Jahiliyyah, they were selling Italian ices. Brothers are from the streets. They know what time it is. They know what's going on. You think that they're going to let some young brothers come on the scene and fool them into doing something? So likewise for those older brothers who are in whatever you're in, come on to the truth, Ikhwan. Come on to the truth. For those from amongst us who have done wrong and given a bad picture, we ask you to overlook that and to forgive us. And come back to your senses and get on the truth. As for the brothers who went over there, wallahi, wallahi, we'll do a khutbah against the people who make Muslims feel they can't repent and come back to the truth. We'll do a khutbah against them. If you're thinking people are going to ostracize you when you come back, we're not. We'll give a khutbah against them. That is not from Islam. The man made a sin, he came back, he's your brother in another sin. And that's my promise, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, to stop the fitna, because inshallah, the haq is going to be established with or without us. Because of us or in spite of us. The haq is going to be established. That's the nature of the haq. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, إِذَا جَاءَ الْحَقِّ ذَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلِ كَانَ زُهُوقًا. If the truth comes, the falsehood disappears, it goes away. Verily the falsehood is ever fleeting, it's always dissipating and going, with the condition that the haq comes. And look how the haq has come, the Quran and the Sunnah, according to the Sahaba's understanding. The haq has come, and it has exposed the people who were faking it. We have people who graduated, and mashallah, I think we need to stop being so harsh against the Muslims, because wallahi, the Muslims are nice. They are tayyibun, their hearts are nice. One of the proofs that they're nice is that if a man goes to Egypt or to India or to Pakistan or Bangladesh for 3 months, when he comes back with a longi on, the people say, mashallah, sheikh, this is a sheikh, just because he went away. And they treat him with respect, and wallahi, he's from the Uwaybaba. People have gone to study in Medina, and when you listen to their line of argument and their understanding of al-Islam, it's clear, he just because a person goes away, it doesn't necessitate that he understands Islam. In Medina, the people from the College of Hadith, they were the best students in terms of showing you the living Sunnah. Normally, you would see that in them. And whenever they were around you, they would drink sitting down. The middle of the street. Not the middle of the street, because the people say we're fanatic. All we talk about is phobes and beers and the isbab. And that's a lie. You go look at the tapes that are available and listen to the durus. The people very seldom, I don't know one tape that you can find talking about al-isbab or the beers only. Yeah, we mention it here and there. But the people are talking about aqidah and minhaj and fiqh, salah, the tarbiyah. What are you talking about? All we talk about is the niqab, and they said, wallahi, our women look beautiful in their niqab. What's the problem that you have? Look at the lessons that are being given here, Ikhwan. And they have to lie to help the batil. Oh, you brothers think Islam is only the beard or the thobe. No, we're saying Muslims, hang on to your Islamic identity. And to wear something below your ankle is haram today, like it was 1,417 years ago. Now, let us get to the Dars of Al-Aqidah. The point that I wanted to make is that those students of the College of Hadith, many times you will see that they were the ones who showed you the Sunnah. Eating with three fingers, mashallah, you shake his hand and never let your hand go until you let yours go first. Never turning away from you. Everything the Sunnah. When you come in and you want to shake everyone's hand in the majlis, you'll say, where you get that from? Sunnah, Sunnah, Sunnah. You have brothers who have gone to Medina, graduated from the College of Hadith, and they talk bad about the muhaddith of this era. But the Muslims say, Sheikh, Sheikh, Sheikh. And the scholar who all of the other scholars recognize as the muhaddith of this era talked about him in a bad light. So, Ikhwan, the measurement by which we judge the right and the wrong is based upon that haq that we talked about, and not based upon where you study, how long you study, where you travel, how old you are. So with that being the case, inshallah, we'll give the brother, the imam, the opportunity now to read the salat, and after salat we'll answer the questions that the brothers had, inshallah.